Psalm 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And saint, you remember, doesn't mean perfect. It means sanctified by Christ, redeemed, made his own. And so we're here to mark the passing of our dear friend and sister in the Lord, Peggy Meyer. It's not like we didn't see this coming. We knew, and she knew, because of her declining health, that we would be here soon, maybe a little sooner than we anticipated. But our goal this morning is to do two things. First, to grieve our loss of her, because death is not our friend. The Bible makes it clear, death remains an enemy to the end. It's the last enemy that will finally be put down. But it is an enemy that Christ has conquered through his resurrection. And so second, we are here to remember our hope. Hope that death is not the end of the story, our story or Peggy's story either, because Christ has indeed been raised. And so Kyle read 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Because Christ has risen, we who are joined to him by faith will also rise on that last day." And so Peggy, who died trusting him, will one day rise to eternal life. And that's why Paul can say at the end of that passage that was read, encourage or comfort one another with these words. And it is a comfort. It is a great comfort in facing death to know that Christ has risen. Peggy and I discussed that many times over these past couple of years. And Nevin, I know she did with you as well. In one of our very last conversations, she said, "I'm all right. I know I'm going to be all right." And we talked about how she knew she was all right. And it came down to this. She was trusting in Christ by faith alone for what he did in the gospel. Many from Rockport remember her standing right over here. And as the dementia diagnosis had been given, she asked us to pray that as her memory began to fail, she would not forget Christ. And we talked about that many times, and I assured her, as others as well, that even if she did forget him, he would never forget her. But right to the end, God heard her prayer. In our last conversation, she knew her hope was not in any good thing that she herself had done, but only and all through faith in Christ for what he has done. And in that, she's a lot like one of my favorite quotes from John Newton, author of Amazing Grace. Right at the end of his life, Newton said, "My memory is almost gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." And so where does that kind of hope come from in the face of death and decline in this world? Well, it comes from what I understand was one of Peggy's favorite passages in the New Testament, Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. And let me just read that passage to you. There Paul says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Now here is the gospel hope in a nutshell. We were dead in sin, lost and without hope. I mean, that's the condition that holds every man, woman, and child on this planet. We are born into a life of sin, and sin means our self-centered rebellion against God. The fact that we are dead to Him, we do not know Him or seek Him on our own as we should. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, the Bible says. That's us. And that's how we live without Christ. Not just some of us, not just the really bad ones, but all of us. And that's the reason the world is in the mess of brokenness that it's in. And the result of this rebellion is that each one of us is under a sentence of death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. We all die physically, right? It's coming. It's coming. Every one of us will face this day. But what's more, we are all born into this life dead spiritually, unable to bring ourselves to God. Again, listen to him. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were held captive in them. You were by nature a child of wrath, meaning God's righteous judgment was upon you. Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed to each one of us once to die and then after that face the judgment. That is the unwavering condition of every person on this planet. This is what our sins have earned. And so if God left us there in that condition, if we were to receive what we deserve, there simply would be no hope. The grave would be this blackness that we stood before with no hope beyond that. But God, verse 4 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And understand that it is this but God that changes everything. This is the heart of the gospel message. This is why Peggy loved this passage. She knew her sin. Nevin gave a wonderful eulogy and talked about how Peggy is and had been an encouragement to so many of us. But if Peggy were able to speak, she would also say, but don't forget my sin. Don't forget my shortcomings. Don't forget all those things that I wish I could change, all those things that I would regret. She knew she had done nothing worthy of Christ's salvation, just like me, just like you. She knew she was under a sentence of death, but here's what else she came to know. She came to know the gospel's but God as it broke through her spiritual death and gave her the assurance of eternal life. And not just some vague idea of some kind of spiritual willy-nilly afterlife in the clouds, but a real death-conquering resurrection life that will one day bring her up out of the grave to know and love and worship Him with the saints for all eternity. That's what this but God means. I mean, do you know this hope? We were dead in our transgressions, but God made us alive together with Christ. We were bound and chained in our sins, but God has shattered our bondage and set us free in Christ. We were rebels fighting against Him, but God made us His sons and daughters through faith in Christ. John 1:12 says, for all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So how can we know? How can this hope become personal and sure for any one of us? Well, that's the third thing here. This hope becomes yours, not based on anything that you do, but by trusting fully in Christ for what He has done. Listen to verses 8 and 9. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Peggy understood that very clearly. In our last conversation, she said more than once, I haven't done anything. I don't know what I can do. And some of that was part of the confusion of dementia, because we circled back to that same thought again and again. But then each time I would say, Peggy, you don't have to do anything. Just keep trusting him, and her eyes would light up, and she would say, yes, yes, that's right, I do trust him. And you could see the peace come over her, the clear assurance of resting by faith in Christ's finished work. That's why this gospel is such good news for sinners like you and me, that we can be saved from death's curse. But it's not by our works. We don't gain eternal life by the good things that we have done, because our works are not good enough. They never have been enough. They never can be enough. But Christ's good work for us is more than enough. He came and lived a life of perfect obedience to God the Father in everything He said, everything He did or thought. And then He took death in my place, taking on Himself the wrath of God that my sins deserve. God made Him who had no sin become sin for me, that in Him I might become the righteousness of God. And then He rose bodily, alive, on the third day, forever conquering death's power, forever taking away death's sting for those who trust in Him, so that now by faith alone, and notice that, that's the key thought, by faith alone in Christ, we may have this gift. Verse 2 says, it is by grace you were saved through faith. Grace is God's gift to the undeserving. And again, Peggy knew she was undeserving. She knew her sin. We talked about that. Do you know your sin? To the undeserving who turn and trust in Him, Christ gives the gift of the forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life in Him. And that's the importance of this little phrase, but God. That's why it was so precious to Peggy and is so precious to all who belong to Christ by faith. That's why she had Herman make this little piece of artwork. Some of you recognize it. It was by their door. She had him put it there so that every day that they came in and went out, she had this reminder there that in my sin, I deserve hell and death. But God, by grace, has given me life eternal in His Son. That in this world of pain and suffering and death and slow decline from dementia, but God has conquered these things in Christ. So that one day, as Revelation 21:4 says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for all of these things, the former things, have passed away. Death shall be no more. That's what this but God means to the believer in Christ. In this world of sin, these bodies of ours grow frail and old and they fail, but God will restore what sin has broken when He raises us from the dead. Our sister died in weakness, but God will raise her in His strength to be like Him, to glorify and enjoy Him forever. But God makes all the difference in the world. Do you know this God? For every one of us, this life presently now, no matter how long it may be for you, this life is temporary and will end in the darkness of the grave. But God has promised life eternal for all who put their trust in Him. So do you trust in Him? That's the most important question you can be asked. Do you know this life by faith? Are you trusting Christ for what He has done? That's my prayer for you this morning. And if you knew Peggy at all, you know that was her prayer for you as well. Bring your brokenness and sin to Christ by faith alone. Receive this life-changing reality of God's grace as you trust Him for what He has done. But God changes everything for those who trust Him. Let's pray. Father, now we thank You. We thank You for the life of our friend Peggy. We thank You for what she has meant to each of us, and what she meant to each of us is probably as varied as the number of people in this room. But we also thank You for her faith, We thank you for the encouragement that she was to so many of us, and for the hope we have through Christ that she is in your presence now, awaiting that great day of final resurrection in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to him we pray. Amen.